You're listening to the Wedding People podcast, hosted by Rhianna Elizabeth and Rebecca Brennan Brown.
On this podcast, we talk about all things wedding. So if you're getting married and want to know wedding planner secrets, this is the show for you.
In this podcast, we may say the odd naughty word. So if you don't want to hear us dropping the F-bomb, we suggest that you listen to us later.
You can find more helpful information and show notes at www.theweddingpeoplepodcast.com. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Today we'll be hearing from Amanda Caron. Amanda's a photographer, and I'm going to stop there and let her explain the rest in the episode. Just a heads up, the first 10 minutes or so we're talking about COVID-19. So if you're sick of hearing about it or you're avoiding the news, then maybe don't listen to the first 10 minutes or so. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll know that we recently launched an Etsy shop. We've added loads of useful downloadable templates and things like that, which we thought would help you with your wedding planning. And one of those documents is 207 questions to ask your wedding suppliers. Within that document, there are questions for your photographer, so it might work quite nicely if you had that document hand in hand with this episode. So you can find that on Etsy by just searching the Wedding People podcast. We hope everybody is okay and safe at home, and we're always available on Instagram at the Wedding People podcast if there's anything you want to say, any recommendations that you need, or if there's anything that you want to recommend to us. Do you want to start by telling us a bit about you, what you do, and why you're here virtually? Why you're virtually here?
So I'm Amanda. I'm one half of Amanda Caron Photography. So I work with my other half, my husband Hutch. We're wedding photographers based in Essex, but probably like nearly every other wedding photographer out there, will travel with camera. So destinations all over the UK. We will go anywhere. We've been doing it about, we've been married 7 years, so 6 years we've been doing photography. I love it.
Can you give people a bit of info on your background? Because it is fascinating.
Yeah, so my background is probably as far away from being creative as you can go. I have a background in crisis management and counterterrorism. I started my, I suppose, working life out of uni after doing disaster management, working for a local authority, dealing with emergencies, sort of real-time crisis management, from starting with Baby P right through to Tottenham riots. And then I came into the consulting world, working with kind of global organizations to put plans in place and contingency plans in place for if there's a big emergency like a pandemic. But it's very strange now, because I left the consulting world a year ago. It's very strange having spent 12 years planning for this sort of stuff and now not being part of the response, but also at the same time glad that I'm well and truly in the wedding world and not having to deal with it from a business, from the kind of corporate side of things.
Wow. It must be strange to watch it all unfold though and not be
It has been strange. I miss the emergency response side of things. I think I've got a lot of colleagues and friends that are very much in the instant response at the moment, and not being part of that has been hard. I felt a bit useless on that sense, but I've kind of spent a lot of time in the last few weeks helping other businesses, like other wedding industry friends and things like that, put plans in place. And you know, we were really proactive with our couples when it first started bubbling under the surface, just to kind of reiterate what our contingency plans are, what we would put in place if one of us got ill, and what would happen if they had to postpone. So then when it all kind of kicked off, all of our couples felt super reassured. You know, we've got a couple of them who haven't postponed just yet, but you know, I think being able to bring that crisis management and that crisis comms piece into our business has helped hopefully settle a lot of nerves that some people have been feeling.
Yeah, I think it's like so good that you've been able to preempt that as well, because so many of us, I think us included to be fair, but like I had my first cancellation in January, And I completely wrote it off as them being overdramatic because I had no idea that it would evolve into this. And I think we've said before, haven't we, Ree, that we're just kind of like muddling through it and just trying to do our best. So it must be so reassuring for your clients to know that you kind of know what you're doing in that sense.
I
don't think any of us, even within mild industry, really anticipated that it would kind of become this big thing. I mean, you know, we were emailing our couples at the beginning of March, end of February. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't super, super early. It wasn't like right back in January. But it was enough that I was like, we've had a case. We should probably now start kind of just reassuring people. But yeah, none of us expected this. I mean, it's what we spend years planning for, but you still don't really ever expect that you're going to have to invoke those plans.
No, not at all.
Bex was organising an event for a Chinese firm, weren't you? And it was obviously things were going on and there was news about it, but it was nowhere near global.
No.
And Rebecca was like, you know, they've mentioned the coronavirus and all of that kind of thing. And then we kind of had to deal with talking about it quite early on. And then felt like a week and a half later, then everybody else started going, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, I told you about this. Like, because I remember talking to my friend about it. And she's like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then she was like, Rhianna, I'm really, really worried about it. I was like, yeah, we were worried about it about a week and a half ago. So it feels like because you dealt with that, Bex, straight on and that client, it was probably quicker than.
Yeah.
And I think, a lot of us will remember swine flu. And that turned out to be nowhere near as severe as before. But swine flu was transmitted primarily through children. And so a lot of the London schools shut a week early for the summer holidays. And that killed it off. Whereas this time it's not really been, doesn't seem to have been transmitted by children. And so shutting the schools hasn't really made a difference. And it was just so much bigger. But, you know, I don't think the media and social media helped.
Massively negative.
And the thing is that I think it's hard about it as well is that like it's all anyone is talking about, and like quite rightly, because obviously it's completely taking over everything, but at the same time it's quite hard that every time you turn on BBC News it's all you're gonna hear.
Yeah. And for weddings, I think that's it's really sad for those couples that have just got engaged. If you think about all those couples that would have got engaged over Valentine's Day, and now, you know, and we've spoken to couples where they've said, oh my, like, it's so difficult to find suppliers who are even posting stuff on Instagram still. Like, kind of in the early days of this, everyone sort of went a little bit quiet because they're dealing with all of this. But for those newly engaged couples who were only going to be getting married in 2021 anyway,
yeah,
it's put a real dampener on their
planning.
So we looked at our kind of social media, and I was like, I don't want to not post, and I still want to celebrate all those couples who have got married and who are going to get married. So I did a bit of a story and just went, look, we are all in this together, and like, this is how we're helping people. Like, if you're worried, talk to your suppliers because they want to do their best by you. But actually, I don't want my feed to just be about coronavirus. I want it to be about celebrating those couples. And so we've kind of gone back to business as usual on our Instagram. And I think that's what we need to do, because otherwise firstly, the industry is just going to suddenly not really going to get the inquiries that they were going to get. But it just brings that little bit of happiness back into the feed, because at the moment it's just COVID-19 memes.
Yeah. And I'm here for them. That and Tiger King memes.
Yeah, so I don't have Netflix, so I don't know what this Tiger King
is. I mean, that is getting us through life.
Yeah, we've got Amazon Prime, so we've been kind of binge watching that at the moment. And then once I'm out of Amazon Prime, I'll go on to Netflix.
Yeah, good plan. Well, make sure it's the first thing on your list, because it is really good. But I think we were kind of the same, weren't we? In that, like, also, not only 2021 and beyond couples, but, like, I've got people that are getting married in September who are like, I just don't want to think about it at the moment because it's just too consuming to everything else, that weddings are almost now tainted and people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, but we made quite a conscious decision, what, last week, maybe the week before, that we need to still keep putting out content for everyone else. This, we can't let this take over. So that's exactly why, like, we wanted to have you here today and to just keep going and keep putting out content that's relevant to everybody and not just this thing, although this thing is consuming everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but we'll get through it and we'll be out the other side and weddings will go back to normal. And maybe now businesses will think a little more about contingency planning and more couples will get wedding insurance. I saw, I can't remember which blog did it, they did a poll on their on couples, and only something like 37% of couples had wedding insurance, which I think is terrifying. So, you know, maybe, hopefully there'll be some good lessons learned that come out of this.
Yeah, we've mentioned it, we've mentioned wedding insurance before quite a few times, right at the beginning of the podcast, because it is something that people don't get. They don't get it because they don't feel like they need it. And it's surprising, really, because it is one of the most expensive, well, it is the most expensive thing you'll ever spend your money on outside the house.
Well, and that's it. And you have home insurance if you're home, if your house falls out, and you have car insurance, which is another big purchase in case something happens.
And so, phone insurance, even phone insurance. Is yeah. That why you protect, and I don't think people really get it. But yeah, so hopefully more people will get things like that to help make sure they're supported and have some cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That was a whole massive tangent.
So you've been doing this for 6 years.
Yes.
And what would you say your style of photography is?
We are very kind of light and airy, but because there's two of us, there's very much, I think, a fusion of that kind of candid, natural documentary style, which comes from Hutch, and that more kind of fine art, portraiture, attention to detail from me. Mm-hmm. And it works really well as being a pair, because Hutch will quite happily, you know, just be there with a long lens, kind of just scanning all of the guests, waiting for something to happen. To get those amazing candids, whereas I get very excited about all the detail and creating the portraits. So we very much then split the day, but it's kind of meant we've got this bit of a sort of, I suppose, a fusion of styles, in that we're not one or the other. It lends itself to, I suppose, our strong points within photography. And, like, you know, you'd never in a million years want Hutch to pose someone. And I maybe have less of an attention span to be just watching for like ages and ages and ages. Like, I will want to be moving around and I'm quite like kind of capturing lots of things, whereas it's almost like wildlife photography. He's just like tracking them. Interesting to happen.
And yeah, so, it is.
Yeah. And I mean, given that he is 6 foot, like, big bloke, used to play ice hockey. Most guests don't know he's there because, like, some little camera ninja.
I do think that, because that's when it comes to my next question, was going to be second shooters, because obviously the pair of you work together anyway, so you don't have to worry about having that second photographer there. For example, I've booked a second photographer because I want to make sure that nothing is missed, and I do think that more people are booking for that extra person so they can get those extra shots. So I suppose you don't ever have to bring in an assistant, or do you get asked occasionally?
If there's more than 500 guests, then we would say you need a third person, because you just can't get the candids within that. So if you've got a kind of normal, in inverted commas, number of guests within a kind of Western wedding, then once you've done the group shots, then I can go back kind of into the milling around with guests and getting the candids. If you've got a much bigger wedding, that usually comes with a lot more group shots, and therefore I don't have time to do all the group shots and then join Hutch with doing candids. So having that second photographer, that third photographer, I suppose, means then that you can get a lot more of your guests covered, because there really is only so much ground that one person can do. But I think you're right, more and more people are going for that second photographer, because you know, if you're having a very short reception, kind of drinks reception, then again, you want to make sure that whilst the portraits and the group shots are being done, your guests are being captured, your decor is being captured. But also if you're not, if, you know, if both of the couple aren't getting ready at the same site and you want that coverage of you both getting ready, then we haven't worked out yet how to teletransportate between locations. So you need a photographer in each location.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, particularly we found with things like church weddings, like one of us will be at the front and the other one will be at the back. But quite often you're then not allowed to move at all, which if it's very restricted, the person at the front is then stuck. Like I've had to basically be hidden behind a lectern before, and Hutch has been allowed to kind of move freely to get the angles that the couple want. So it does help to have kind of two sets of eyes on it. And so I think that's why there's been a kind of rise in people wanting second shooters. For us, it was we were always going to do it as a two. It's very rare that it's only me that does it, and that's usually if it's a very tiny wedding and it's a short coverage.
Yeah, so I was going to say, is that your, that's your standard, that it's both of you?
Yeah.
Do you do engagement shoots and first look shoots and stuff like that?
We do an engagement shoot. I'd love for one of my couples to say they want to do a first look. They just sound so romantic. You get all of that emotion when they see each other for the first time. And also, like, it makes sense because the first time you see each other is when you're stood at the bottom of an aisle with all of your guests staring at you. And all you might want to do is give them a quick kiss or a squeeze of the arm or say, damn, you look really sexy. But you can't do that if you're stood in front of a vicar or a celebrant, can you? Like,
oh, you look fit. Oh, sorry, Vicar.
Or, you know, great Auntie Flo sitting there watching. It's a bit weird. Whereas, like, that idea of a first look, and it's something that I know that they've done in the States for a while. I'd love that to come over. And I have it on, I purposefully have it on our wedding timeline form to be like, do you want a first look? Here are the benefits of a first look. And no one's ticked it yet.
I don't know. I'm undecided. I don't know if I want to do it or not.
Oh, I think you should. Please bring it as a trend.
I think, I mean, Oliver's the first to admit he's quite, he'll probably get quite emotional when he sees me. But I think it's not, I think it's just the, like, the whole idea of it, not just me. So I think it might calm everyone. It might calm us a bit, I think.
I think it's a really lovely idea. I mean, we do engagement shoots and that's complementary within our packages because most of the couples that we attract are a little bit like me and Hutch. We don't really like having a photo taken. We feel like a bit of a fool in front of the camera. And so it's almost like a dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. So
it sounds counterintuitive putting yourself through another shoot if you don't like being in front of the camera. But having that engagement shoot means you get to know how it will work on the day, which means then when we're doing our portraits with the couple on the wedding day, it's only like 20-30 minutes away from their guests.
Mm-hmm.
If we were doing that for the first time and we'd never shot them before, you'd spend the first 15 minutes trying to put them at ease.
Yeah.
And then you don't get those amazing portraits that they've booked you for. Because you've got only then 10-15 minutes to work with. Whereas if you've done the engagement shoot, they know then how relaxed it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super posy. So, you know, it'll be things like, you know, just walking through the beautiful gardens that are at their venue. And it's more about putting them in good light, great background, and then just letting them be. And I might do a little bit of tweaking and just like lower that bouquet or just stand a little bit closer, those sorts of things. But it's not, we're not like, you know, Vogue or Tatler, and we're draping each other over car bonnets. That's not our couples, and it's not me, but they feel so much more at ease, and probably a couple of glasses of bubbles on the wedding day helps as well. But because they've had that practice on the engagement shoot, it's part of our prep work, and yes, it's great because they get photos off the back of it, but actually for us, it's about getting them prepared for the wedding day.
Yeah. I guess, and just building a bit of connection with them. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Like when you say that, I'm like, why doesn't everyone do that? Like,
yeah. We have a dress rehearsal for your ceremony. You have a food tasting. So this is kind of just like having, you know, you have a makeup trial and a hair trial. So this is sort of your trial on.
Oh, that's such a good point.
And getting them to, so quite often, if our bride has had her hair trial and her makeup trial, we'll try and coincide the, because then she's had her hair and makeup done, she might change the hairstyle so that her partner can't see exactly what it's going to be. But she'll come having had been lovely, pampered, makeup done, like,
Yeah. I do think, unless you both know that you're fine and confident, I do think an engagement shoot is really good to have, especially if, as it's included in your package, which is great, because I know that some people do add them on. They're not usually a huge cost. And again, like, they're memories and you'll keep them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think if you know that it's going to, you're a bit nervous about it, like you said, run up.
But also, like you said, it is a memory, and it's part of telling that couple's story.
Yeah.
And I think so many couples get engaged and then it's like, right, now we've got to start planning a wedding. But I'm like, actually, being engaged is part of your story.
Yeah.
Part, like, being engaged is something to celebrate.
Yeah. It drives me mad.
Yeah, it's not just a case of, okay, we're engaged, now we need to kind of rush and start planning our wedding and get married. It's just remember why you're doing it. And I think that that engagement shoot, like, we didn't have one for hours. Actually, I wish we had. It'd have unearthed a whole load of other things. I think it just adds to that story. And photography is about storytelling, whatever style you are and whoever you are about kind of capturing that moment. As funny as that sounds, it's, you know,
no, it's so true though, isn't it?
Would you have an engagement shoot, Bex? I can't imagine that you would think of having one.
No, I don't like the idea of it because I don't like being in front of a camera, but for the every reason that you've just said, I think I would.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I know that you wouldn't go, okay, yeah, I'll have an engagement shoot because of that reason.
Most of our couples are probably a little bit apprehensive about it. And I just say, look, we're just going to meet up. We're going to meet up somewhere that means something to you both. And it's just a little bit of a rehearsal. It's a bit of a practice so that when you come to the day, you don't feel like such a lemon. You don't waste that time so you can get back to your guests. And if you, if I spin it that way, then they're much more on board with it. It's less about being in front of the camera then. So, you know, once we kind of get to the engagement shoot, I don't instantly pick up the camera and shove it in their faces. We did an amazing one a couple of years ago. It is a couple of years ago now. We did it on Brighton Beach because that's the first place that he told her he loved her.
Aww.
And so they instantly came all like lovey-dovey, and it was, you know, we had the bandstand to ourselves, and, you know, they're kind of dancing in the middle of the bandstand, and it was just like super lovely. And that's why I think, bringing in your personality, making it about you two and not just it being a shoot.
Like you said, it's just such a nice record to have, isn't it? Have you got any other tips, or is there anything that you tell people who are a bit nervous about having their photo taken or aren't particularly comfortable in front of the camera? I guess the engagement shoot is the big one to help that. But is there anything else that helps, like, loosen people up? Because I would imagine it's a worry for a lot of people.
Oliver's worried, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So the thing I find that puts most couples at ease is for them to look at each other. And you look much more in love when you look at each other than when you look at me. As horrible as that is for me, that you're not as lovey-dovey when you look at me. But just looking at each other, I think just brings a bit of that reassurance within them that they're kind of in it together, and they then focus on each other. And I just snap all the way around them. But it's little things like, you'll generally have guys facing straight onto a camera. Ladies are usually facing an angle or kind of into their partner. Generally, you don't put women face onto a camera. We don't like our widest parts facing the camera. So if you put us on an angle, whereas guys prefer to kind of put their shoulders forward. So kind of from a, if people are feeling a bit lacking confidence in their kind of body confidence. That's quite a lot of the things that people say to us why they don't like having their photo taken. I don't take a good photo, or, you know, I don't look good on camera, or I'm not really in my body. Then there are just like little tips and tricks like that about kind of making sure your shoulders are rolled back a little bit, but you're not sticking your chest out, or keeping angles in things like elbows and knees so you don't look like a wooden plank. But generally, like, you'll feel most comfortable in front of the camera if you're working with a photographer you trust.
Where do you think is a good place to find or look for photographers? And how do you think you can tell an iPhone photographer from a, really trying to not use the words good and bad, Rihanna, help?
I think I know what you're kind of getting at. So most of our inquiries this year, interestingly, have come through Instagram, which I have no idea what I'm doing on Instagram. So it amazes me that that's where they're coming from. I actually probably think they're finding them elsewhere, looking at us on Instagram, and then they're just saying they've seen us on Instagram. But I think venue recommendations are sometimes a good starting point. Mm. However, I don't think it's vital that your photographer has shot at your venue, because a good photographer can shoot anywhere.
Yep.
And I quite like that we have recommended on a couple, but I quite like that we shoot in lots of different venues, because otherwise I get a bit bored. I think recommendations is another good one. If you've got friends that have gotten married and love their photos, then it's worth kind of having a look at maybe who they use too. But there are so many photographers. It almost doesn't matter where you find them. It's more important that you meet with them and find out that you like them, because ultimately they're going to be with you when you're getting ready in the morning. So if you're going to be comfortable with them in your bra and knickers, then they're probably the photographer for you.
There you go.
It's the idea of them being around you when you're getting dressed makes your skin crawl. Don't book them. And then I think in terms of telling the difference between an iPhone photographer and a professional photographer, you need to see a full gallery, because all of the social media platforms love being a bit hinky with what they do to the quality of photos. So you can have an amazing photographer, and for some reason sometimes that will just compress an image and it won't look as good. But I think if you can see a full gallery on an online, like on an online gallery, so you're seeing all however many 500-600 images, but you can see a full wedding, that will give you a much better idea as to firstly what a full wedding would look like from them. But if you have a photographer, unless all of their weddings have got NDAs signed with them, if a photographer cannot show you a full gallery, that would be a red flag to me.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It's also such a good point, which I'd never considered before, is that platforms like Instagram will allow you to pick the best shot from that wedding.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, I hadn't considered that before, that gives you no indication of what the other 400 pictures were like. Like, they might have all been crap and you've like pulled out the one good one. So that's such a good point. I've never considered that.
Yeah. And I think you're right, because I think people go onto a website and then look at just the online gallery there, but then again, that's only pulled. But the majority of the time when I contact a photographer for a client, they will send me a few galleries so that they can see the whole wedding in its entirety. Because you're so right. And I think a lot of people will probably book just based on a feed.
And websites and social media are a shop front.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like looking at a window display of Selfridges. And look how much there is behind those doors. You want to make sure that what's behind those doors is kind of a quality. And also, if you're looking at wanting a wedding album, then seeing sample albums, looking at the quality so you can feel them and have a look through them. But again, wedding albums, as in the physical albums, will only have 70 images in it. So you still want to see, I would say you still want to see a full wedding gallery. You might not want to sit and look through 600 photos of somebody you've never met, but you can at least flick through it and see that it's consistent with what you've seen online. Yeah. Like, we will always send 3 or 4 galleries to a couple after we've spoken to them. And these are all galleries that couples have said we're allowed to share as part of that process. We wouldn't share a gallery without that kind of permission. But yeah, you want to see full wedding examples.
How many weddings do you typically shoot in a year was something that I was quite interested in, because obviously there's weddings on every day, but obviously you've got to then think about the editing and the process. So how long from there as well do they get their kind of photos and gallery, et cetera, after you've shot?
So we do about 15 to 18 weddings a year is our cap. I suspect probably that will be more next year.
Yeah.
With postponements just to ensure cash flow from a perspective. Yeah. But again, like we, I limit how many we take on in any given month. So we do a 4-week turnaround on our editing.
Okay, it's quite quick, I'd say.
Yeah, really cool. Because I'm so excited to get editing to the photos afterwards. So we do a sneak peek a few days after the wedding. When we first started, that was a single image sneak peek, and I found it too difficult to pick one photo. It's now like a 30 or 40 image sneak peek.
That's really good.
But again, because like if they're going on their honeymoon and all they've seen is really awful drunk phone photos from their guests, you can't. I want to give them something nice to look at. And then, yeah, so we do 4 weeks turnaround for our couples to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that now with we've started doing a slideshow that we send to them. And then once they've seen them, we'll upload them onto the gallery, because we give mini, I call them mini Moo cards because we get them from Moo, but they're like mini business cards.
Mm-hmm.
With the gallery details on that our couples can then give in the thank you cards to their guests.
Oh, nice.
And the reason we do it is because I found it so frustrating when we got married that all of our guests were contacting, when can we see the photos? When can we see the photos? And I'm like, oh, good Lord, leave me alone. And harassing my mum for it. So I was like, if only we'd have known the exact date that gallery would go live and we had the login details, then we wouldn't have to people wouldn't have to keep asking us. So that's what we brought into our business.
It's really cute.
Because then they, and I, do you know what, I can see people logging into that gallery the day after the wedding. I'm like, as if it was going to be there. Like, I know they're keen, because sometimes they'll get put on like place names or like near the guest book and things like that, and I can see people logging in. I'm like, well, that's wishful thinking. All they get is a holding image saying check back soon. People are so keen, but it means that again they're not being, the couples aren't being harassed. Everything we were trying to do was to minimize that stress on our couples, so they're not being constantly asked, and also they're not then having to send a USB drive around to some random aunt who might lose it in the back of a drawer and they'll never see that again. So
yeah,
the guests can view the photos, and then if they want a particular image they can either buy it as a print or they can email the couple and just say, can you send me the file for image 242.
Do you get a lot of people asking for albums? Do you have albums included? Because I know that many people are stepping away from that, but I think some people still love them. I think have that. I love a physical thing. You know I do, Rebecca. I can hold, and I just love the idea of having it on my coffee table or something like that. So,
yeah. I love an album, and we have an 80% take up on albums.
Oh, nice.
So, but we don't do it as part of a package because there were too many variations on the albums for it to really be an easy process then for couples to just pick a package. So we have, this is your coverage, and then if you choose to book an album at the point you book us, there's a discount on the album price. If not, you can add it at any other time. But because I'm such a big advocate for albums, we also do gift vouchers so that if they want an album but they're working within a budget, their guests can buy them gift vouchers that then buy them their album after.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and that, and we'll do an album at any point. Like, you can come back to us years later with your photos and we'll do an album then. In fact, we've done albums for couples whose photographers don't do albums, and we'll do it because that's how much I want everybody to have an album, because digital technology changes all of the time. Like, you know, at school we had, I'm going to assume you're the same age as me, floppy disks.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have floppy disks. Yeah. Beck, do you have floppy disks?
I think so, just about.
You're a baby. I used to work with a couple of girls in my old job, and they had no idea what floppy disk was.
Mm-hmm. I know what a floppy disk is. I think because we didn't have computers until.
I remember having our first computer.
Yeah.
But we don't have that. Like, most laptops don't have CD drives anymore. Some of the Apple products don't have USB drives anymore. So
it's the most annoying thing in the world.
Yeah. Insane of their life.
So, I mean, having then that physical album, and like, we work with Folio Albums, who are UK-based. They're incredible. Their customer service is amazing. Like, and the product, I just love them. They are so beautifully made, and I just think your wedding photos deserve to, like, you owe it to them to put them in something beautiful. Don't just leave them on a disc that's going to sit in the back of a drawer, or stored up in the cloud that, you know, you might never look at. Like, get an album, even if it's for your first year anniversary, which is paper. Like, an album's perfect for that. Then, and then look at it here over a bottle of wine or a bottle of bubbles that you had at your wedding, buy that bottle every year, look through your album.
Such a nice idea.
I definitely think that, well, I'm definitely going to have an album, but I am going to kill everyone. Everyone's going to hate it because I'm going to basically show them every time they come around. Every time. Every single time. Look at this album. That'll be me.
That's infinitely better than you saying, here, I'm going to show you 700 photos on my USB drive. You're going to sit and look through all of them.
Yes.
That's so true.
Like, it's a much easier way for you and the couples to show their wedding photos off without being like, hey, I've got a 2-hour slideshow for you to look through.
Yeah.
And we've seen quite an uptake of parent albums. So, like, mini versions of the wedding album that they then give to mum.
Cute.
That's lovely. Oh, all these little things.
They just pop them in the handbag, and you just know that the checkout lady at Tesco's is having to look through this little album. Because that is what my mum did. I swear
that's
done. It was in her handbag for ages. Same with my mother-in-law. We got them both one.
That's cute. I like
that. That's so cute. Love it.
How do you ensure that you get all the shots you want? And I'm also very aware now that because of social media and Pinterest, Instagram, etc., people are seeing a lot of these creative shots. And I know that Bex recently had a wedding that had a sparkler aisle. Was that it?
Yeah.
And it takes a while. So when everyone's saying, look at all these amazing veil shots, and I want this shot and this creative shot, do you have a limit on how many that they can ask for? Obviously, they need to tell you in advance.
Yeah, so I guess we get a good sense of the couple when we meet them,
mm-hmm.
As to whether or not we are going to be the right sort of photographer for them. So if somebody came along and they were really wanting that kind of editorial look where you spend a good kind of couple of hours doing portraits, then honestly, we're probably not the photographer for you. And so we would say that right from the beginning. However, if they see something amazing on Pinterest or a couple of ideas that they have kind of once they've booked and they still want that natural feel, but they're like, actually, we really love this veil shot, or we really want a sparkler exit or something like that, then we work with them and their timeframes and say to them, look, this is going to take us an extra 15, 20 minutes. Like you said, sparklers take ages. I'm terrified of sparklers. I hated them as a kid. They terrify me now. Like, we've done them as photos, and I spend the entire time thinking someone's going to set fire to my hair.
I did. I was a bridesmaid, and we did the coloured smoke bombs.
Yeah.
So and they did take time, but we were walking up and down the thing, and then it was everywhere, and it was
yeah. And it is, like, it's really good fun. And ultimately, we are there to capture the day as the couples want us to.
Yeah.
We don't get too many requests, but we do when we get them, and we just work with them on their time frame and say, look, if you do want to do this, this is how, this is the best time to do it. So with sparkler shots, if you've, you know, we don't have an hours cap on how many, like how long we're there for. Generally we're there from like 2 hours before ceremony and then about 30 minutes after the first dance. But we do say if we're staying any later than 9 o'clock and we've done a full day, because we then have to pay to stay over somewhere, we won't do the drive home because it might be too long. So there's not a cap as such. Like, we don't do like a 6 hour, 8 hour, 10 hour package, because right. most weddings don't run on time and we wouldn't want to leave mid first dance. But this is a roundabout way of me saying, if you're getting married in the middle of July and we're leaving at 9 o'clock, it's probably not going to be dark enough for a sparkler exit. So again, we can say that to them and be like, we can do it. We're either going to have to do it where it's still a little bit light and therefore you're not going to have that such a contrast between sparkler and the darkness of night, or we can stay later and we're going to have to increase the fee a little bit on that to accommodate that. But generally we just work with our couples to see what they want and how best we can fit it, because it's the timings that dictate really, and it's the catering timings. Like, you can't be 20-30 minutes late if chef has got all the food out.
I'm going to ask about retouching and editing photos.
Cool.
So is this included, or do people ask? How does it work, like, with the whole kind of editing and airbrushing and whatnot?
So editing is included. So editing for us is making sure that the colour and light is right in the photo, straightening them. So, you know, if you've got kind of a little bit of a wonky image, that's editing. For me, retouching and airbrushing is a kind of different thing, a different skill set. And we include some of that. So if bride, groom, bridesmaid, parents of the bride, kind of within that limit, wake up in the morning and they have a giant spot on the end of their nose, I will take that out of every single photo.
Oh, that's nice.
So I do the kind of Lightroom edit. So I probably do 90% of the editing, and then 10% of those photos go into Photoshop, and Hutch does that sort of editing. So he removes the spots. He also will remove fire exit signs and fire extinguishers, because they are unsightly and they distract. And I think you have these beautiful venues and then this great big green neon sign that says exit. And so they all get removed. On occasion, if we can, we will remove a videographer from the background. And for ceremony shots, where it's harder for me or Hutch to get out of each other's way, we'll have to remove usually me out of the photo at the front of the ceremony. If people come to us and say, I want a person removed from a photo, which we've had, mother of the bride was requested to be removed from an image.
Jeez.
We will, like, we have to charge for that. It took 5 hours to remove a person. So we distinguish between editing and retouching. And you're right, like, if it's a beautiful close-up portrait, then we will get rid of the spot. We might brighten the eyes a little bit. You know, there is a bit of kind of gentle airbrushing that you might do. But also, you are who you are in those photos. I would never, point blank, never make someone look slimmer in airbrushing. Firstly, I'll have pose them in the most flattering way anyway in their portraits, but I think it's so fake, and it's so sad that, you know, people feel they have to do that.
You want to look like you, don't you?
Exactly. So yeah, we will remove spots, but I'm not gonna, and actually, to be fair, I've removed tattoos too at the request.
Okay. Okay. I've got a birthmark on my face. It's not, it's quite, I know it's there and it does photograph.
Yeah.
And
that's something I never know it's there.
Well, friends who know me say, oh, I don't really notice it. But when I'm in a photo, you can see it. Obviously, I cover it up and you can get certain cover-ups. But then someone said to me, no, because if it does shoot, it's part of you. Like it's, you know. So I know people do have parts of them that they're obviously very self-conscious of. But obviously, if they tell you in advance, the photographer will be conscious of how you shoot. And obviously, I always turn myself that way anyway. So the photographer would know that. It's just, I think, like you said, trusting them and knowing them. They know you. They know the things that you're self-conscious about and they'll work with that.
Yeah, and again, that comes out on that comes out of the engagement shoot as well, though, because you're getting to know them. And you know, again, we've had couples where one of them's had a birthmark and they've said right from the start, do you mind if you take it out? And I'm like, no, that's fine. I would never remove something that I know is a permanent feature, because it is not my place to decide that that shouldn't be in the picture. And, you know, some people are happy with their birthmarks, other people aren't. That's for them to tell me. And if they say to me, look, I'm really self-conscious about it, please don't shoot me from the angle, then I won't. It's harder on candids to always try and like make sure you're on the correct side. They want shooting. So on that instance, if they want us to remove it, we will, and I'm not going to charge for that. It's kind of, we take it on a case by case. We don't get requests very often, but yeah, being asked to remove Mother of the Bride, that was a chargeable thing, because it took, I mean, I was amazed at the job that he did on it, slightly scared as to how easy it is for him to remove people from photos.
What are your thoughts on videography?
I think there's definitely a place for both. We didn't have a videographer. I do wish we had. For our wedding, but I think it's important that photographers and videographers get on and talk before the wedding. So I've worked with some incredible videographers, and because I think generally still photographers are booked first, if someone then says, oh, we want a videographer, I will recommend this handful of videographers every time. Because we work well together, we have similar styles in kind of and how we approach weddings, and they're just nice human beings. There are a couple of videographers that I've worked with that I'd never work with again, just because we didn't get on. I've been pushed by a videographer before. out of the way.
Pushed out of the way.
Physically pushed out of the way. And, and I know that is a very rare occasion, like a rare occurrence. You're gonna get bad horror stories like that in every industry. I just happen to have found that one. But generally, I think there is, because these days videography is more like, you're not. If I think back to like video, like wedding videos, even when I got married, so 7 years ago, it was basically like having to sit through the wedding again.
Yeah,
you don't really want to sit there for 3 hours and watch it again. You might do as a couple, but your guests certainly, your family certainly don't. Whereas now, they're so much more creative, and they're always like little trailers. And I think there's something about, and certainly some elements of the wedding that you want in video form, things like speeches or vows, or where there's a bit more, like where there's some really great movement, and bringing in some of the music, that invokes more emotion. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where they both have their part to play. Like there's some elements, like the group shots, you don't need that on video.
No.
A whole load of people stood facing forward, so you want a photo of that, because those people might never be all in the same room again together. Mm-hmm. I think they both have a part to play. I just think it's really important that you pick a photographer and videographer who have the same approach.
Yeah. There does seem to be that thing that there's a deal between the two of them, but it's just a case of, it's like any supplier, anyone, any people can like clash and whatnot. And I think that's what's so important, is that everyone communicates before, so everyone knows exactly what's going on. And we're very much like that, aren't we, Bex, when we're organising stuff, where people know who's who and who's doing what, and we share schedules with everybody as a group, so everyone knows where they are, and then if they've got a question about that situation, then that's communicated back.
Where would you place yourself in the market? Do you think you're like, would you place yourself more like high end or mid range?
I'd probably say more like top half of mid range, I suppose. Like, we're $19.50 at the moment for what we call full day.
I think that's very reasonable for two photographers.
Yeah, I do.
We look at our kind of business model and our pricing each year based on the number of weddings that we want to do, and kind of our business costs, and we increase as needed. Yeah. But also, you know, a lot of our couples then add on an album. So I guess probably once you add in an album cost, we're probably more, you know, people are probably spending on average sort of $2,400, $2,500.
Mm. Yeah. But like, we and I constantly preach about the fact that you can't restage your wedding. And photography more so than videography, because I think people just have photographers more than they do videographers. That's all that you're going to be left with once it's over and you've spent all that money. So you need to make sure that you're getting someone good that you like, and if that costs a bit more, I always encourage people to spend that little bit more and get rid of a cake if you're not bothered about cake or whatever it is. Make adjustments,
or you know, if there's a photographer that someone really loves, talk to them, because they might do slightly less coverage to fit within your budget, right? We are all human. Like, I did a wedding last year, and they had a budget that meant that we were slightly over that, but we worked something out and it still fit with my business and the amount of work that was being put in. But it meant that they had, you know, so they didn't have the full day covered, they only had kind of key points of it, but it meant that they got a photographer that they really wanted. I just really wanted to be involved with their day. Like, it's very different than someone just coming to you and saying,
of course, you know, when people have standard prices, that's going to be based on the majority of what you get booked for, because obviously everyone's going to go, oh, how much are you? So obviously you have to have that kind of layout fee. But if they're having a wedding, so my friend was getting married from 6 o'clock onwards. So it's like, if you're just having an evening wedding and it's like symbolic and it's very short, then he'll approach you. Because I do think a lot of people will find that out, stop, and then leave it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Like, always be honest. I think that's why we always say, don't we, Bex? If you have a budget, tell them rather than inquire and then never speak again about it. Because things can, like, we're all human. Like, we do it, don't we? If there's a client and we really like what they want to do and it works and we fit with them, we'll tailor it. We tailor our services as and when we can.
And there's so many factors that come into it. Now, if you're getting married on a peak Saturday in the summer, it is harder to be flexible and say that you'll only do a 3-4 hour wedding. Because we get, as all of us know at the moment, we get most of our income now kind of over these summer months. Mm-hmm. And that's to see us out for the rest of the year. I think, like you said, if you're not fussed on having the cakes, you can tweak your budget. Like we always say to couples, prioritize what is important to you, because you can have a wedding that costs hundreds of thousands of pounds if you go on Pinterest, but you don't have that budget, so you have to prioritize. Don't email a photographer or a videographer saying that photography is really important to you, but you've only got a £500 budget when you're spending sort of £1,000 on a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
That tells us that we're not a priority. The shoes are a priority. There's a juggle. And ultimately, like, I know we're in the wedding industry, but a wedding is a luxury. Like, to get married, you need two people and a place. Everything else is a really lovely luxury and a celebration. So it's about advertising and compromising.
I like it when I hear other people say that, because I say that all the time. I got bloody hounded for saying that on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and also I just think it also makes me sound like I'm probably not very good at my job, but I'm like, guys, just remember, you don't have to do all of this. It's almost like putting yourself out. But you know, I completely agree with you.
Don't get me wrong, we've all made businesses and a career. We've chosen this industry as our career, and yes, we want we we love these sorts of weddings, but don't be skint over it.
Yeah.
Don't go into a marriage with a debt.
Yeah.
Gone and bought everything for your wedding. It's about prioritizing that and thinking about what you're going to have left at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is easy for me to say because I'm a photographer and therefore the photos last forever. But it is about prioritizing your budget. And actually, you know, this is where I think planners come into their own, because you guys really help with managing that budget and getting the most out of the budget.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the main benefits of a planner, 100%.
Yeah.
And through fear of going off on a massive tangent, which I am definitely doing, but we're here now. What you said there about prioritizing budget, I 100% agree with that. And like, I'm the first person to say that. And you can see why it's so hard for people, though, because at exactly the same time, you don't want to be in the position that, like you've just said, where equally you don't want to be in a position where you're like, oh, I wish I did this, or I wish I had a videographer. And finding that balance is so, so hard for couples to do. Like,
yeah,
you've never had to think about these things before. Why would you know how to do it?
Mm-hmm.
No, and I think that's why, you either need to get a planner, or you need to be someone who is naturally organized and good at project management. But I think there are always going to be things, I reckon, that if you thought about it hard enough, you'd look back on your day and go, oh, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Especially if you're the first in your group to get married and then all of your friends start getting married and you're like, oh, I wish I'd done that. That was really cool. Ultimately, if you can come to the end of your wedding day and you are surrounded by your favourite people, you've got a belly full of really nice food, and you've had a great day with them, that's what's important.
Absolutely.
Should we just end there?
Just done. Bye.
Lastly, where can people find you?
So on Instagram, it is Amanda Karen Photography. Actually, it's probably that on Facebook too. And website, it's amandakarenphotography.co.uk.
Amazing. Thank you so much for giving up an hour of your time when it is gloriously sunny outside.
Yeah, but I'd burn and I'm not allowed out of the garden, so.
Not that now.
But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding People podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. And don't forget, you can always get in touch via the details on our show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you can tune in to our next episode.